Welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandeva Kandepe, also known as Aka. If you know me by now, you know that I love anything to do with learning. I'm always trying to figure out how best to learn a new skill, who should I follow to do something new. And I actually stumbled upon somebody really cool, but seems very low-key. And I was so interested by his work. And you know, and that also means that I get to call him on the podcast. But his work has to do with all skills development. And that's what I am trying to get into, learn a little bit more, and try to also, again, learn from the best. So with that being said, I'd like to introduce you to Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hello, Aka. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And thank you so much for inviting me to be on your podcast. I'm excited about it. Thank you for the honor. And I'm looking to having a good discussion with you. I think it's going to be interesting.
I know it's going to be very interesting. We were briefly talking about how it's now winter, and you were saying, because you're from Cape Town, South Africa, you were saying it's so cold in Cape Town. So just tell me about the weather.
Yeah, no, it's autumn here, but today is a wintry day. So it's cold, it's wet, it's windy. And would you believe, literally, for the last few days, it's been hot, it's been warm, it's been sunny, it's been absolutely beautiful autumn days. But I think the winter is creeping on us very slowly. But other than that, we're all good. We're all good. Rain, winter, sunshine, snow, we do what we need to do, eh?
Yeah, I think it's also been warm. I think the past 4 days, it's been warm, but I've actually also been traveling. So I was at the western side of Zambia, and it's warm there, like really warm, like hot. I'm back in Lusaka now. It's still warm, but I think that it's going to get cold next week, because it's saying the whole week would be warm. So I really can't wait to see how that unfolds. But Zambia isn't that cold.
Okay.
Thank God.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I think during my cold months, I need to come spend a little bit of time in Zambia during your winter, if it's not that cold.
Yes, and you'd actually enjoy it if you would visit the Victoria Falls. It's full this time of the year.
Okay,
it's very beautiful, so you get to like experience it. This is like, it's on its peak right now. It's always in its peak in May, June. Like April, May, June. So, and we have water because we had like a slightly better rain season. So, I was there a month ago and it was very beautiful. So, you should visit it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Parrot said that's on the bucket list. So, we'll get there. Definitely.
If I meet you at an event and we introduce yourself, how best do you introduce yourself?
Well, if people ask me what it is that I do, part of what I normally say to them is, you know how in company cultures there's much toxicity, there is abuse, mismanagement, abuse of power, position, and people. Employees are suffering with mental health issues. There's lack of respect, there's lack of unity, there's lack of care, there's lack of love within company cultures, and company cultures are often extremely, extremely toxic. And usually the people or the person would agree with me. Well, my response to that is, well, that's exactly what we solve. That is the problems that we solve. We're trying to create company cultures, and we're trying to create leaders that are able to build healthy company cultures. But more especially, we're trying to raise a caliber and a generation of leaders who know how to lead with their heart, how to lead with character, and how to bring out the best in their people. So that's basically, in a nutshell, a small nutshell, that's what I do. Bringing a solution to leadership and to company culture, but with a specific focus on leadership development.
So one thing I love about leadership is that ancient history, we've had different leaders, and we have experienced, or our ancestors have experienced, different leaders, and now we're living in a world that is more democratic, right? Mm-hmm. And we've also seen what that has done, what that good and bad has done for us. Moving forward, what type of leaders do you anticipate the next generation would be?
Yeah, I normally make a statement, Aka, that is somewhat provocative and often a bit of pill to swallow, especially for those who are currently leaders and those who are aspiring to be leaders. And the statement is this: we do not need more leaders. We do not need more leaders. And sorry to disappoint your audience out there, all of those young leaders, those young men and women who are studying to be leaders, those aspiring leaders. Sir, ma'am, we don't need you. We don't need you. And I know that sounds offensive, because how do we survive as a society without leaders? But let me say this, and I can say this confidently, if you were to look at the greatest injustices committed in the world, history past and in present times, the greatest injustices, pains, abuses committed in society and towards people are by who? Leaders. We don't need more leaders. But here's what we do need, Akka. We need leaders of character. And there's a difference. Just because you are a person who is in leadership, or you are a leader who is in leadership, does not mean that you are an asset to society. Because often the people who are the greatest abusers of people, resources, money, or involved in corruption are leaders. So my approach to leaders and leadership development is that we do not need to produce a new caliber and a new generation of leaders. We need to produce a new generation of leaders of character. Because currently, right now, if you were to look at company cultures, if you were to look at governments, if you were to look at societies, you would see the fingerprint of leaders on every part of society. And if you were to look at Africa and you ask yourself, the problems that we are experiencing in Africa are a leadership problem. It's a leadership crisis that we have in Africa. Not just Africa, every country has problems. And so our approach to leadership development is very simple. We do not need more leaders. We need leaders of character. And that is what we are doing as a company, as an organization, the All Things Are Possible group. Our focus is on producing a new generation of leaders of character. That's where the future is, leaders of character.
I get it. And I totally agree with you, Sean. We do not need more leaders because... if we have the same leader, if we get new leaders with the same character, it's just the same thing. You have the same cycle.
Absolutely.
And I don't think a lot of people are ready to have that conversation. So one time I was attending a UN event, and we were, you and I talked about this. Like we briefly touched on something related, but we were talking about how youths are the leaders for tomorrow, right? Yes, like we were attending a summit in the US from Zambia, so the UN summit. So we were there talking, and everybody was asked, so what's your opinion? I said, hey guys, as much as the youths are saying you are the leaders of tomorrow, you have the capacity to lead people. Because it's one thing to think you are the leaders for tomorrow. Yeah. And it's another thing to be ready to sit on that table, right?
Absolutely.
Like we keep crying, we want to sit at the table. Do you have the skill sets and the resources or the capacity to be at that table?
And the character.
And make change.
And I love what you're saying, and you're absolutely on point. And that's exactly my belief as well, because... I believe in skills development, Akka, and I think we both, you've been involved in skills development, I'm involved in skills development. The company that I have, the All Things Are Possible Group, is an accredited skills development company based in South Africa, but our focus is not as much on skills development as it is on character development, right? Because I believe we do not have a skills problem in Africa, we've got a character problem in Africa. And so the pursuit of developing young leaders to be young leaders of skills often comes at the expense of developing them to be people of character. And you and I will probably get to it where we talk about the missing gap and the missing link. And I'm putting it out there right from the get-go. We do not have a skills problem. We've got a character problem. There's this misconception that Africa has got a corruption problem, right? We are notorious for being a continent of corruption. Whether from South Africa and any other part of
Zambia,
there we go, right? I'm sure every country in Africa can talk stories about levels of corruption. But, you know, I often say this unapologetically. Africa does not have a corruption problem. Africa has a character problem. Corruption is not a problem. Corruption is a symptom of a character problem. Because where there is a lack of character, there's an abundance of corruption, there's an abundance of greed, there's an abundance of mismanagement, there's an abundance of an abuse of people, power, position, and resources. We're trying to solve corruption. We're trying to solve the wrong thing. And by the way, if you were to talk about character and skills, for the most part, Akka, the people who are involved in corruption and greed and abuse on this continent, and you and I speaking of Africa because we are from Africa, but hopefully we'll have an audience that is worldwide, so it applies to any to anyone and everyone. There's this misconception that that we have a skills problem, but it's not a skills problem; it's a character problem. In the presence of corruption, the corrupt don't lack skill. On the contrary, they are bright, they are smart, they are intelligent, they are gifted.
That's how they do it.
That's how they roll. That's how they roll. You walk into the offices, they've got qualifications, degrees, their walls are plastered. In fact, there's not even enough wall for the level of qualifications that these guys are. Because society has been taught to be proud of your education, right?
Yeah.
Society has been taught that we need to be proud and be, of our educational qualifications, etc., etc. But it's exactly those very same people who are involved in corruption. So now I ask you, Akka, and for all the audience that is going to be listening, especially our young people, do not let the pursuit of educational qualifications, do not let the pursuit and the hunger to be highly qualified fool you into thinking that as long as you've got high qualifications, you're a person of high caliber character. It's not the same thing. As much as we need people to be strong in skills, we need them to be strong in character. And if a person is strong in skills and is not strong in character, we've got a person who's a problem. And here's a quotation that I often quote. It's one of my more provocative quotations. I love quotations, by the way, Akka. In fact, I'm busy writing a book at the moment on character.
Yay!
And it's all based on character nuggets, leadership and character nuggets. But here's someone that I'm sure that you would like and you would enjoy, and your audience as well. Oh, and by the way, I need to say this also. So you usually when I train and I do conferences and whatever, and I give these little nuggets that are often tweetable, right? I often say to my audience, hey, listen, you're welcome to go and quote this and use it for yourself, but you better make sure that Sean Naidoo's name is at the end of that quotation. So I tell my audience, don't go out there looking also smart and intelligent and bright and clever on my expense. So, I don't want to find you out there quoting me and you're not giving me credit. So here's a quotation that is often a bitter pill, Akka, to digest. Check this out. Skills development at the expense of character development produces a generation of... Okay, let me just repeat this again. Skills development at the expense of character development produces a generation of educated bullies.
Ooh!
Oh. I'll repeat that. Skills development...
It's a good one.
At the expense of character development produces a generation of educated bullies. Akka,
I like that.
Listen, of course. Now, the only people who won't like that are the educated bullies because it applies to them. So this is what society has already produced. And I know this is going to be part of the discussion, Akka, in terms of where do we see leadership going? Where do we see skills development going? Where do we see our youth and our future youth? And it's not even the future youth, it's the future leaders. It's the now leaders. Where do we see them going? And here is a statement. Here is a statement to stop us in our tracks to reconsider how we are training and raising our future leaders. Because when you ignore character development in youth development, more than likely we run a serious risk of producing a generation of educated bullies. And you know what's the scary part about that, Akka? We've already produced them. They're here right now. Those educated bullies are present. You've had experiences with them. You've worked with them, you've worked under their leadership, and so have I. And currently, right now, sitting in offices, companies all over the country, people are suffering mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, financially, because they are being led by educated bullies. Not a lack of skill, but a lack of character that makes them an educated bully.
Where do you think the showcasing of... like us getting so much, what's the term I'm looking for? Us getting so much, where do you think it was ingrained into us to pursue our qualifications so much and get so much pride from it, for us to become what we are now? nations of people that have, like you mentioned, educated bullies, or nations of people that are anyone else that's not doing the norm.
Yes.
Or what is expected, which is go to school, get so many qualifications, is isolated and bullied and put on their own to just break them down in their character, because you're not following what everybody is doing.
So let's agree on one thing at least, right?
Yeah.
We are not anti-education. We are not.
No, we're not. We're not.
It's not what we said.
We're just breaking down a few things.
Absolutely. So what we are basically doing is showing, and from my side personally, and this is something, and this is the reason why I do character development, because I've seen the gap in the market. Because when I look at leadership, and I look at how they're struggling in leadership, and then I look at the people that they are leading and how the people are suffering under their leadership, I realize we don't have a skills problem in leadership. We have a character problem in leadership. So I believe in skills development, Akka, just like you do. We believe that people need to be skilled. Our young leaders, our future leaders, our aspiring leaders, and even the current generation of mature leaders, we want any leader, men, women, to be skilled. So it's not a matter of not pursuing skills, right? So from the beginning of time, people were conditioned, and it's not a bad thing. It's right. We need people to be skilled. If our doctors were not skilled, you and I would be in problems. If our pilots were not skilled, you and I would not be going anywhere. So skills will never, ever be irrelevant. There will always be a place for skill. So I often say to young people, pursue your education, get a degree, qualification, if you feel that's what you need in the profession that you are going. Go ahead, pursue skills, pursue education. But here's the thing, Akka. Our pursuit of education has come at the expense of the pursuit of developing character. That is why we have the level of leadership and the quality of leadership that we have in Africa, especially, is that we have people who have become so developed in their skills, highly bright, highly smart, highly intelligent, highly gifted, and there's not a problem with that. It's absolutely great. But the problem starts when character development has not been part of the leadership development process. And I often say this, you cannot possibly do leadership development while ignoring character development. And Akka, throughout the ages, we fail to develop the character of the leaders. And that is why today we're sitting with educated bullies, because we prioritize the skills development, the competencies of leaders. We've developed the competencies of leaders. We've given them theoretical, academic, curriculum-based information about leadership and leadership development. And so it's all head knowledge. And so our leaders are not lacking in their skill, but because character has never been a part of their personal leadership development, we have leaders who are sitting with big heads and small hearts. And what you have there is a monster. Big heads, small hearts, monster. You know, Dr. Miles Monroe, I'm not too sure how familiar you are with Dr. Miles Monroe and his work. Dr. Miles Monroe from the Bahamas, absolutely powerful man. I loved his ministry and his work that he done. He's passed on now.
I know him. He's the one that talks about he used to like giving the death speech, like, yes. Ooh, he's my favorite.
Yeah, and mine as well. And mine as well. Normally, I never ever quote other people, right? Mm-hmm. But if there's one person that I do quote, it's him. It's him because of the level of depth of wisdom there.
Yeah.
Anyway, he speaks on leadership. He speaks on purpose. He speaks on destiny. But he speaks on leadership, and he made some comments about character. But here's the interesting thing that he said about leadership and character. He says, power is not a problem until it's put into the hands of someone who lacks character.
Yeah.
Right? Power is not a problem until it's put in the hand of someone who lacks character. Now, here's the thing. If that hand has skills, education, qualifications, degrees, all kinds of qualifications, even then, power will become a problem if character is not present. So what we want to do, Akka, and this is my approach to leadership development, youth leadership development, woman leadership development, is to have a balance between skills development and character development. And it's not a competition between skills development. So it's not skills development versus character development. It's skills development and character development. Here's a fact. Character development does not feature in personal development, leadership development, and youth development. The closest that it will come will probably be a reference here and there about leaders of integrity and ethics, or maybe even a short module. But character development never gets the priority that it does. If character is not a priority in your leadership development, how is character going to be a priority in your leadership? I often say that there is no hope. Listen to this, right? There is no hope of having a future generation of leaders if character development is not part of their present preparation.
Yeah.
If we are not intentional about building character in the future generation of leaders now, we should not complain in the future when we are led by characterless leaders that we helped raise. And I'm going to say this. If we don't prioritize character development of our young people, Aka, you know what we are doing? You and I are going to be guilty of raising a future generation of characterless leaders.
True.
Our universities don't prioritize character. And that is why we approach universities to help them with this. Our schools don't develop character. Our educational system in Africa is geared towards academically skilled, academically, theoretically, and curriculum-based skills development of young people, thinking that if a person is developed in their skills, they have what it takes to be a good leader. And that's anything from the truth. Yes.
I'd like to take you back on something you mentioned. You were emphasizing more about education, and how we are not anti-education, right?
Yes.
And you've also touched on into something I'm really passionate about, which is skills development. And you're also very passionate about character development and how it's not part of the curriculum. You've also mentioned how in Africa, our education institutions prioritize academic or technical theoretical skills that are not practical, and we also do not even have a curriculum on character development. I want us to break down what education is, right? Because sometimes when people speak on education, others will just be thinking education only has to do with being in class and sitting down and learning and formal learning, right? Like they're going to an institution and getting accredited. That's what other people think education is all about.
Yeah.
But you and I are in the business of saying, hey, that's not what education, there's another light to how you can experience education, and let's shed light on it. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well said. I mean, that's a great point that you are making, Aka. Listen, life is an education.
Yeah.
Life is an education. Life experiences is an education. So there are different types of learning, different types of education. There's the formal, you know, we go to school, we go to college, we go to university, we get qualifications, we get a degree, we get cap, we go through graduation and all of that. It's fine. That's only a small, small part of learning. There are so many other ways to learn, to develop yourself. So even you know, a graduate who comes out of college and university, that's just the beginning of their learning. We believe in being lifelong learners. So that is why, you know, companies invest heavily in skills development, because even though you've got skills and qualifications and etc., they believe in continuous learning and development. So companies invest heavily in continuous skills development. But skills development and personal development is holistic. There are various areas of you that need to be developed. Now, and this is where our priority lies, and our focus and our mission lies. It goes, learning personal development, leadership development goes beyond the formal education process, right? Of going to school, college, university. And if you go through that, it's fine. And listen, by the way, on a side note, Aka, you and I both know there are many people who don't have formal education, but are some of the greatest, most influential leaders that you and I know. No formal education.
Yeah.
So having a formal education is not a guarantee of success. It helps in your future career, but it's not a guarantee that you're going to be successful, because there are people who don't have formal education, but are brilliant. Brilliant leaders know how to relate to people and do great and amazing things. So it's about taking a person, looking at a person holistically from head to toe, right? Holistically, you are more than just your skill set. I say you are your character as well. So you are more than just your skills, your qualifications. A leader, let's look at a leader as an example. What is a leader made up of? A leader is someone who needs to be skilled, fair enough. You need to understand leadership. You need to understand the theoretical, academic, curriculum-based approaches to leadership. You know, that is why we go through the formal process of getting accredited and learning about leadership. But leadership extends beyond you academically and theoretically quoting principles and theories and leadership styles on leadership development. There's the character aspect. If your character, as an example, which is part of your personal development, if your character is not being developed, you cannot be a good leader, because leadership, you lead from the level of your character, not from the level of your skill set. So our approach, and it really is challenging the normal, traditional, conventional ways of developing leaders, is to say, we want to take people, young people, and say to them, you want to be a great leader? Go ahead and continue with any formal education, skills development, go ahead and do that. But there's a level of training that is going to be outside of curriculum that will cause you to be a great leader. And it's not found in the covers of a manual. It's not found in the cover of a textbook. It's something that happens through life. So we are preparing people to how to look and identify how they can learn from the crisis that they find themselves in. And that's part of our approach. Looking outside of a curriculum, looking outside of a textbook to identify what am I learning through life. Because life will teach you about leadership more than a curriculum can.
And now that we're diving into it a little bit deeper, you mentioned that in Africa, we don't lack a skills development. We don't have a skills development problem. We have a character problem, right? And I believe in... We do sort of, I'm in the middle now after talking to you. We do sort of have a personal, excuse development problem in the sense that we have big organizations invest, or even just companies in Africa, invest so much in skills development, but we're using the Western approach, which is working for the Western world, but probably will not work here because of different circumstances. I just want to dive, from your work, what have you noticed about what's really happening in the gap in the skills development sector?
So, good question, Aka. So whether you are from the Western world, whether you're from Africa, whatever part of the world you find yourself in, yes, two facts, it's indisputable. Our leaders need to be people who are highly skilled, and they need to be people of character. Correct?
Correct.
Right. Our leaders need to be people who are strong in skill and strong in character. But not just our leaders. Our young people need to be strong in skills and strong in character. For me, it's not necessarily a geographical issue about where we are coming from, Western world. Yeah. Or Africa, for me, people are people. Human nature is human nature. And the one thing that we all need to be effective leaders of companies, of countries, of societies, of governments, is that we need to be strong in skills, because there are competencies that are needed to be an effective leader. But coupled with strong skills is to be strong in character. And if you ask the question, what is the gap? I'm identifying the gap. The gap is we are pursuing competency-based leadership, skills development, but we are not doing character development. And let me say this, because if you were asked the question, what problems is the ATAP group solving? Because we are very fanatical. Yeah. We are very fanatical about leadership and character development. And if you were to ask what problems are we solving, it's very simple. We're solving a leadership and a culture crisis, leadership and company culture crisis. Society has succeeded in developing leaders with strong skills. Mm-hmm. But society has failed to produce leaders with strong character, and that is where the gap is. So most companies, Aka, and you know this, and you've mentioned it, most companies invest heavily in skills development and competency-based trainings to improve what? To improve company culture, workplace relationships, to improve performance, to improve profits, bottom line, while ignoring the foundation of leadership and healthy company culture. And the foundation is what? Character. And what What has ignoring the character development of leaders produced? Let me tell you what it has produced, and I'm sure you can identify some of this in your country, but definitely in Africa. The result of ignoring character, because we're talking about what is the gap. The gap is lack of character development. What has it produced? What is the result? The result is a cycle of greed, corruption, a cycle of mismanagement, a cycle of toxic workplace relationships, low productivity, low staff morale. It has produced a cycle of unethical behavior, workplace bullying, toxic company cultures, high staff turnover, unhealthy toxic workplace relationships, and a decline in employee mental health. And you know what, especially Aka, an abuse of position, an abuse of power, and abuse of people. And the reason for that is we've ignored the character development of our leaders, because we think that as long as we are developing the skills of leaders, the competencies of leaders, we are good to go. And because of this gap, we have these levels of problems in our company cultures. Character dominates company culture, but not many companies are even aware of this. And this is the reason why we are saying we've identified a gap, and we are saying we need to bring character back to leadership development. We need to put character back on the same level as skills development. Because, and Aka, I'm going to repeat this quotation because I know you loved it. If we don't, then it's going to be a problem. Keep this in mind. Skills development at the expense of character development produces a generation of educated bullies.
I love that quote.
Thank you. Go ahead and use it, feel free, but you know what? You know what comes at the end of that quote, right?
Yeah. I won't forget. When you look back.
Go ahead.
Go on.
So basically what we are doing is you talked about the past, you talked about history, you talked about the Western world, and you know, we're talking about here for us that are in Africa, and we want to come up with solutions that are relevant to Africa. But the fortunate thing was the solutions that are relevant to Africa are relevant to all countries and every part of this world. And so why is it that a character solution cannot come from Africa? We want to raise a caliber of leaders in Africa where we can be proud of our leaders. Listen, there's no denying the wealth, the power, and the potential of Africa, correct? There's no divine denying the wealth, the power. And in fact, the rest of the world is more aware of the wealth, the power, and potential of Africa than Africans are. However, Africa cannot rise until the character of its leaders rise. I'm going to say that again. Africa cannot rise until the character of its leaders, current leaders, aspiring leaders, and future leaders rise. A wealthy continent that is rich and strong in natural resources, and Africa is a wealth of resources, will always be poor and weak, Aka, if the character of its leadership is weak. Many people have asked the question, Africans and those outside of Africa, how is it that Africa is such a wealthy continent in terms of natural resources, but yet remains so weak and so poor? A rich continent, listen to this, a rich continent with poor leadership weakens the continent and keeps its people poor.
Yeah.
Right, so Africa is on the rise, and we agree with it. Africa, I mean, listen, we are not the Africa that we used to be. Africa is on the rise. We've got a young generation of youth leaders, young leaders, new leaders that are rising, and so the potential is there. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and we've made major strides. So Africa is on the rise, but only to the height and strength of the character of its leaders. Africa is on the rise, but only to the height and the strength of the character of its leaders. I want my leaders to be people of character, Aka. I want my leaders inside Africa, whether it's corporate leaders, community leaders, religious leaders, and most definitely political and government leaders. We need those leaders to be leaders of character. Just recently, I was invited to a government department here in South Africa. They were having strategic meetings for about 3 to 4 days, planning the way forward for the particular government department, and they asked me to come and speak to their leaders, and these are high profile leaders, and I stood up, I took the mic, and one of the opening statements was exactly what I said earlier on to you today. We respect you as leaders, we thank you for being our leaders, but understand this, we do not need more leaders. If you are here in this room and you're an audience and you're a leader, thank you, but we do not need more leaders. What we need is for you to be leaders of character. And so the question that I posed to them, can you say that you are a leader of character? Because if you are not a leader of character, you are not a solution to the country. You're going to be a problem to the country. And so I provoked them that we need to look into the future and ask ourselves, what caliber of leaders do we want in the future? And this is something that our audience, I hope that our audience is listening to this questions that I'm going to be asking. If we look into the future, what caliber of leaders do we want? What values, behaviors, and attitudes do we want from our future leaders? Yeah. Is having strong leaders of character part of the future that we want? What caliber of leaders do we want leading our future? And do we want our future leaders to be people of character? Now, okay, if we want and need our leaders, future leaders, to be leaders of character, then I'm asking a couple of questions. Number one, what are we doing to prepare for it? And what are we doing to prepare our future leaders for it? Because we cannot say we want future leaders of character. It's like a farmer standing out at his farm. He's planted nothing. And he says, I want to harvest corn, maize, whatever the case might be. But he's planted nothing. He's prepared for nothing. And so if you and I were to stand on the ground of Africa and say to ourselves, I'm looking to the future, I want leaders of character, are we planting the seeds? Are we making the preparations? Are we, as young leaders, youth leaders, and even mature leaders, seasoned leaders, what are we doing to prepare for a harvest of future leaders of character? Because if we don't plant the seed, we're not going to reap the harvest. And in fact, right now, we are currently reaping the harvest of neglecting the character development of our leaders.
Yeah, and I'm so... You have touched on so many important points, right? We're reaping the harvest, like you reap what you sow, right? Whatever leaders we have now is what the previous generation planted, and we're just at the receiving end. And if we are not happy or impressed with what the leaders are doing, change. The next generations are coming up. So what are we all doing to make sure that we have the right leaders and we're ready to accept them? I'm just curious to know, what's the backstory to how you got into character development and the leadership side of everything? You're so passionate about it. And I'm like, I really want to know.
Good question. Well, thank you for asking that. Two reasons. Reason number one, I've traveled the country here in South Africa, working in many, many corporates, are doing leadership development, skills development, because I have a skills development company, right? But part of my prayer and my heart's desire was, and I said, you know, God, I want to do something different. I don't want to be the normal, generic, same old, same old, because we've got thousands of skills development companies in the country. One would think with the level of, with the number of skills development companies and the level of investment into skills development, one would think that we will have very little leadership problems in this country because of the amount of investment into leadership development. And by the way, leadership development is a multi-billion dollar industry worldwide. Are you even aware of that? Leadership development, a multi-billion. If we are spending so much of money on leadership development and you compare that to the quality and the caliber of leaders that we have, something is wrong. So anyway, getting back to the point. Traveled the country and I consistently, repeatedly heard from different clients all over the country, the people in my audience, the employees, the people, they had the same problems with leadership. Leadership is abusive. Leadership is disrespectful. Leadership doesn't care. Leadership doesn't have a heart. Leadership is abusing their power. They corrupt. They mistreat. They abuse. They got no respect. They devalue. There's bullies in the workplace. And consistently, I heard the same story from different companies. And then I sat back and I realized, we've got a problem here. And if I were to look at the leaders that the people, the employees are complaining about, I realized these leaders are already highly skilled, intelligent, bright, smart, gifted, talented, many very charismatic leaders. So they do not have a skills problem. And I sat back and I looked at this and I realized, my goodness, and it was like light, you know, somebody switched the light on, and I realized, oh, wait, hold on a second. And you alluded to this earlier on, Aka, where you talked about where's the gap? And I refer to this as the missing link. And I realized the way leaders are treating people is not because the leaders lack skill to know how to treat the people, is that they lack the character to know how to treat people. Because the way you treat people has got nothing to do with the level of your skill set. I'm going to say that again. The way you treat people has got absolutely nothing to do with the level of your skill set. It's got everything to do with the level of your character. Because if you abuse, mistreat, disrespect, devalue, undermine, bully, boss, intimidate people, that right there is not a skills problem. It's a character problem. And then I realized we've got a character issue. We've got a lack of character. And so that was part of the reason why I decided to go into leadership and character. On a personal side, another reason why I went into character development, in my own family, my wife is a survivor of a workplace bully.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is a survivor of a leader, a manager that attempted to abuse her in the workplace. And yes, something interesting, Akka, and maybe this is a conversation for another day.
This yes.
is the reason why I
like conversations about bullies. Very passionate about them.
Absolutely. And this is the reason why one of the offerings that we have is on woman leadership character development. I often say this, and this right here is a bitter pill to swallow, especially for many women. There's the assumption that men are often the biggest of abusers of women, and to certain
extent, that is true. No, they're not. It's not men, it's women.
There we go. I often say that the biggest abusers of women in the workplace is another woman.
I don't think women are ready to have that conversation.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry to cut you short. I have experienced women being mean, right? Women being bullies. And I'm supposed to look up to you. You're supposed to tell me how to navigate the system because you have now found a way of navigating it and you're not successful.
Yes,
don't necessarily have to go through what you went through. But also women, there's a notion of you also have to pass through it to experience it. Mm-hmm. Nothing comes easy.
Yes, but
I'm not asking for the easy way out, but there are certain things I would not like to experience in the workspace. And if somebody can help me navigate that, it would be great.
Absolutely.
But I agree.
Save you the pain. Save you the pain. Yeah.
Yes. And the trauma.
No, listen, I can hear you've got many stories around
it. I do.
And maybe, and listen, it's a conversation that we need to have, right? And like you said, and probably because women are not ready to have this conversation, because we focus the attention on gender-based violence, and I fully support all efforts against GBV, right? But here's the thing. I've developed a phrase, and I'm not too sure if it's out there in the market, but it's something that I haven't heard before because I have something that I initiated. It's called SGBV. We know about gender-based violence, all right? But there is something in the workplace that I refer to as SGBV, which stands for same gender-based violence. SGBV. And it's not physical violence, but you know
what it's not.
It's exactly what you're saying. Emotional, psychological, the trauma, the mistreatment, the bullying, intimidation, the psychological pain and suffering that a woman puts another woman through in the workplace. And so as I was mentioning, my wife was a survivor of that. But because my wife is such an exceptionally strong person in her character, she would not allow that woman, the woman manager who actually owned the organization, to bully her. And so as a typical bully tactic, that woman who couldn't get it right with my wife then influenced other women and other people in the workplace and used them as pawns to try to make my wife's life difficult in the workplace. And so here's the thing. I wasn't in that workplace, but I could see the pain, the suffering, the turmoil that it was causing. And it frustrated me. It frustrated me. And then one thing that I actually realized, even in this scenario, and I looked at that woman, I looked at the level of skill, intelligence, bright, smart, gifted, intelligent, and immediately I realized that woman bully does not have a skills problem. She's got a character problem. And that was something very close to home. And so based on that, back to your original question, what made me get into this? Those are the two reasons right there. Anka? I don't like to see people suffer. For me, it's inconceivable. And one of the podcasts that I'd done, I think it was last year. One of the podcasts that I'd done, speaking about leadership development, character development, etc., I posed the question, which I'm going to pose to you and your audience today. I posed the question and I said, What is wrong with leadership today? Men in leadership and women in leadership. What is wrong with leadership today that your people, your employees, need to be medicated to survive your leadership?
Ooh.
Hmm? Right now, we've got employees who are seeing psychologists, psychiatrists, who are on medication. Many people have attempted suicide because of the workplace pressure and bullying. Others have succeeded in their suicide attempts. We've got employee wellness programs right now. If you're feeling overwhelmed and whatever, whatever, go to the employee wellness program, put yourself on the program. My question is this: why is it even necessary to have all of these programs that we're not dealing with the root problem right here of the bullies, the intimidators, the victimizers in the workplace? So what is wrong with our leaders that people need to be medicated to survive your leadership?
Yeah.
Something is seriously wrong. And you know what is wrong? It's not the level of your competency as a leader. It's not the level of your skill set as a leader. It's the level of your character that is causing people's stomachs to turn on Sunday before Monday, turn on Monday before the Monday morning meeting. It's the level of your character that is causing people mental breakdown in the workplace and cannot survive your leadership. It's about the character of people. And that's something that I'm wanting to change, and that is why this I'm all unapologetic in my approach, Aka. And many, if you were to read a lot of my content on LinkedIn, and I encourage your audiences just to go out there and maybe just connect with me, read, go through some of my posts, and just see the content that I put out there. My content is not often likable to a certain audience. And my content is not likable often to leadership because I address certain things about the character of leadership that leadership doesn't want to hear. And I often say to leadership right now, if your people are suffering under your leadership, it's not because you have a skills problem. More than likely, it is because you have a character problem. And so we're trying to change the narrative. You know what? It's inconceivable for me, Aka. You are a grown woman. Why must you as a grown woman? And these grown women that I'm talking about, men and women who are big men and women, we're not talking about small boys here.
Yeah.
Men and women who are matured, who are parents, and some of them grandparents, they go to work. And because of the seniority and the position, the power and authority of a leader and of a manager who doesn't have character, ends up abusing that man, that woman, who's somebody's mother, somebody's father, somebody's husband, somebody's wife, or even somebody's grandparent. Yeah. It's inconceivable how a human can be so inhumane to another human being. And that's the narrative that we're trying to train in. That solution here, come on, man, let's get through. The solution here is not to give you more skills development. How much more does your skill need to be developed for you to change? So we right now, we're force feeding, and this is a reality, Aka, we are force feeding skills into our leaders. And our leaders are throwing up. They're sick in their stomach. They're throwing up because of the overfeeding of skills development, but they continue eating. And that is why our leaders are sick. What we need right now is to get to the root of their character and help their character, develop their character, build their character, leverage their character. And when their character is developed, our leaders will be more successful and more humane to people.
That's deep. And I'm glad you've mentioned it because no one wants to have that conversation. I had a guest here. She was the president of LAS. Her name is Linda Kasonde. And she said, hey, some of the reason why people are not even speaking out concerning these issues is that there's a cost to that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
There's a cost to being open and highlighting certain issues that are happening in the workplace, the culture, how people are treated. Like, there's a cost to that. And there's a cost... Yes. It's just a cost so many things, and everybody's scared to talk about it because I don't want to be at the receiving end. If it's not happening to me,
if I can
endure it a little bit longer till I move to the next position, that's all I need to do. Because even if you ask somebody else, everybody's telling you it's normal. I have gone through it, probably have to go through it. So I'm just like really glad we've had this conversation in depth because I've really learned a lot of stuff, and I really want to revisit a lot on my end as well.
Yeah, no, and there's a lot to process. There's a lot to process.
Yeah.
You and I can take this podcast and you can make it into, we can sit here for hours talking because...
I know.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Anka, here's the thing, because for me, it's about shifting mindsets, right?
Yeah, it's about a mindset shift, yeah.
It's about a mindset shift, and I'm challenging our audience out there, and I hope those who are listening would share the link, share the podcast with as many young people and with many companies, leaders in companies as possible, because we need to shift the narrative here away from saying skills development and skills development only is the solution to leadership development. We continue with skills development, but we need to look at the real problems and the real root of the problem, and it's the character of our leaders, and we need to start incorporating, developing the character of leaders. You know what I normally say? And I often get the feeling that I often get the feeling that many companies are scared to do character development because it's almost an indictment on them and their leaders if you go and do character development, because it's almost as if the character of their leaders is weak and there's something wrong with their character that they, because listen, Anka, if you tell somebody I'm going to do a character development workshop, the first thing that comes to someone's mind is, oh, is there something wrong with your character? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know.
But we're not scared to say, but we're not scared or ashamed or embarrassed to go to the doctor when we're sick. We're not scared to go to a physiotherapist when we need to go to a physiotherapist. We're not scared to go to any medical practitioner when we need to. We're not scared to go to counselors, psychologists, and therapists because, you know, they're helping us in a certain area. So why is it that we feel somewhat ashamed and embarrassed and almost as if there's a stigma attached to doing character development? I often say that the greatest, you are your character, and personal development does not get more personal than character development. We hear people talking about, oh, personal development, we're investing in personal development. Do you honestly think that your level, that your skills is the only part of who you are as a person? No, your skill is not the only part of who you are as a person. You are your character. So are you really doing personal development if you're ignoring character development? No, then you're doing half development, not personal development. It's half development that you are doing. And so we are changing the narrative, and we want to empower a new generation of leaders who are saying, you know what? Maybe I need to consider my personal character development. And I usually say to companies, when leaders do character development, it's not an acknowledgement that their character is weak. It's an acknowledgement that their leadership cannot survive if their character is weak. You get what I'm saying, Aka?
Yeah.
For you and I to do character development, or if a company, or if young people do character development, it's not an indication that their character is weak. It's an indication that that person acknowledges my leadership cannot survive if my character is weak. Have you seen a bodybuilder? Have you seen a bodybuilder? Yes,
you have. Yeah, I have.
Have you seen a bodybuilder? Have you seen a bodybuilder walking into gym? Yes, you have, right?
No, I haven't.
Okay, maybe go and sit out at the gym tonight. You will see. Okay, go and sit at a gym. Or if you've ever been in a gym, you see different types of people at the gym. You see people who are overweight, underweight, but there's a section of people who are what? Muscular, fit, strong, and healthy.
Yeah.
But they're at the gym. Do you honestly think that a bodybuilder or someone that it is as athletic and strong and ripped and you know, well-toned, do you honestly think that they really need to gym more to get a good body? No.
No.
That person is not training because they are weak. They are training to maintain their strength.
Yeah.
So when we do character development, we are not saying your character is weak. We want to train, develop, and empower you to ensure that your character never becomes weak, that you maintain the strength, you grow your strength, you become stronger, you maintain your tone, you maintain your physique in terms of character. So we need to dispel that notion that doing character development is an insult to the person and it exposes the person. It's definitely not so.
I like that. And I'm really grateful that we have dived into this. And I hope the listeners are really going to share it with their friends, just because most of the target audience of people that listen to the podcast are in their phase of leadership, learning to become a leader. And like you mentioned, we don't need more leaders.
Absolutely.
We need leaders with character. So I hope when they're listening to this, they actually start asking themselves the right questions and seeking help. But that, for the lack of better terms, I would say seeking help or how best to build your character. So yeah,
Absolutely.
We are coming to the end of the podcast, and I want to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
What makes you do what you do? Because obviously you got a passion for people. And what are you hoping to achieve through your personal impact on people? What are you hoping to achieve?
I'm hoping to achieve a society where young people have the full potential to be whatever they want to become.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an entrepreneur, but I initially this started because I wasn't book smart
since
I was a kid, and I do have ADHD, and I really struggled in primary and high school. I repeated two grades, I think, because literally I learned differently.
Yes,
and
yes.
Skills
but
developed.
The teaching styles
yeah.
never accommodated your different learning style.
And also, the education system is not equipped for other kids that learn differently, is what I have learned over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, over the years, I struggled in class.
Mm-hmm.
To university, I really did struggle. And I realized to say, hey, I want to be rich, right? I want to be rich. And I started to read reading books like Rich Dad Poor Dad. And I also needed to differentiate myself from others. So I started to volunteer volunteer is the word. Like I said, to volunteer for different organizations to gain different skill sets, like how to talk to people, how to socialize,
yes.
how to do
yes.
certain things. Because I knew from the get-go that my success is not going to be in academia. It's not going to be me knowing any technical skills.
Yes, yes.
It's going to come from me being able to hold a conversation with somebody.
Got it.
From the age of 15, or maybe even earlier than that, I started to navigate the school system, right? Mm. I knew that I learn well one-on-one learning, so
yes.
I created relationships with my teachers.
Mm.
Right? So what happened was I was not the smartest child, or pupil, but I was the most liked by my teachers because I
not the smartest academically.
Yeah, I wasn't the smartest,
but not academically. Yes.
Yes, I always get corrected by that. By the way, I wasn't the smartest academically from primary school, so I learned how to cultivate relationships early, and also because I'm a victim of bullying as well. Maybe I was also a bully, but because of that, no, I think I like to admit some part of me might have been a bully,
yeah.
as a way of reacting to certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a few friends, and I was liked by my teachers, so that helped me navigate primary school, high school, and university. But then earlier, I realized they liked me. Other people liked me and they mentored me, right? So I could get certain things easy. I could get certain opportunities easier. I was recommended for stuff easier. I learned certain skill sets, how to just manage adult conversations. I learned that easy. So when I was in university and I was making decisions, I studied accounting and finance. I knew that that wasn't my field, right? Like
yeah.
I can't go and I can study for CIMA, ACCA, whatever that would be to be accredited. But then I would have to compete with people the traditional way. And my way of life has not been traditional.
Yes.
So in the second year of school, I had to make a decision to say, do I go this route or do I start a business? And what have I seen is the gap. So I also realized because I did all that, most of my peers in university didn't have the opportunities I had because they didn't learn how to navigate the system.
Got it.
So I was like, what if a lot of people were taught to navigate the system early? We might not end up rich or whatever, but we might all actually achieve our dreams and our goals if we were taught, if somebody could just break down how to navigate the system.
So
I got into skills development and I realized there was so much competition. I didn't have the capacity, the resources and the skill sets to manage such a company.
And
I started to pivot, right? I started heading a different direction. Where we're at now is collecting information about the target audience, people of my age, and giving it to people, your companies, to say, hey, this is what's on the ground. This is what they are saying they are lacking. So if you want to invest in a training, you should use this data to help you customize your training for the right target audience.
Got it.
So that's how everything was put into place, and it keeps growing and changing. I'm glad I have the skill sets to grow with it
change.
But one thing about entrepreneurship, you learn as you go.
Absolutely.
Really, no one can ever prepare you to... You can never have all the skill sets to run a business.
Yeah, but it's by learning by trial and error.
Yeah.
And I think your story resonates with many, many people, because not everyone is academic, right? And I fully agree with you. The schooling system, the educational system, does not accommodate those who learn differently. So while a teacher can stand and talk for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and they will be part of the audience, children, students, who that's all they need, and they grasp it. Other students need visuals. Other students need further explanation. Other students need to touch something, see a picture to be able to understand the concept. But I'm glad that you actually navigated that. That's a powerful story. That's very interesting. You know, it kind of like reminds me of some of the things that I say to people in terms of character and of leadership. You know, I often say, and your story reminds me of this. If we will never trust a person whose character cannot be trusted, if you will never trust a person whose character cannot be trusted, why then are we entrusting power, position, resources, and vision to leaders whose character has never been prepared for leadership?
Ooh, right? True.
So we are taking something so valuable and we're putting it in the hands of people, of leaders who are half prepared, half baked leaders. We are looking at the part that is fully, that is baked, the half part that is baked, and saying, oh, what a beautifully baked product this is, not realizing you're only half baked. Having strong leadership skills does not mean you have strong personal character.
Yeah.
And something that you mentioned earlier on reminded me of this. Having strong academic qualifications and achievements, Aka, does not mean you have strong personal character. Having strong talents and gifts does not mean you have strong personal character. Having a strong sense of fashion and style and good looks does not mean that you have a strong personal character. And, you know, just on a quick note of that, especially us here in Africa, we are so fashion conscious. We are so conscious of how we look, the hair, the nails, and it's fine, it's fine. But if we are investing more in our outer appearance than in our inner appearance, then we're going to be having a problem, right? So having strong charisma also does not mean you have strong personal character. And having strong personality does not mean that you have strong personal character. And here's something that I want to mention that is worth remembering. The greatest deception in leadership and in leadership development, Aka, is this: is to believe that leaders who have strong leadership skills, talents, experience, charisma, and qualifications are also strong in personal character. Greatest deception in leadership. Because we interview a person, we interview a leader, we look at academic qualifications. And if somebody were to look at you, and if somebody were to know, your academic struggles in your past, they will never hire you. Why? Because they are looking because they immediately judge you as incompetent, no potential, because you do not have what it takes. And that's how messed up the system is, because we are focusing on, and that's the deception. And even people who are highly skilled, even in our HR directors, HR departments, yeah. we are so focused on looking at the building blocks of leadership, things like skills, talents, education, experience, charisma, et cetera, but we've neglected to look at the foundation of leadership, which is the personal character. And so your story kind of like reminded me of that, that it doesn't matter the level of your skill, the level of your qualification, yeah. and how you learn. Aka, if your character is in check, you will be likable to people. You will be approachable yeah. to people. You will know how to treat people. You will know how to build good relationships. And let me tell you something, that right there will qualify you for opportunities more than your colleagues and your friends and your peers who have academics on paper.
Yeah. No, this was such a refreshing conversation.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Made me laugh because I don't put myself in situations where people make me feel like I'm dumb.
Yeah, that's why I'm an entrepreneur. Of course.
You can never be dumb as an entrepreneur, eh? Yeah. My last question to you is, what do you look forward to?
I look forward to being part of a momentum that I and the All Things Are Possible group have created, a momentum
yeah.
of changing and transforming our future leaders. We are building leaders of character by building the character of leaders. I'm excited about companies, people, organizations seeing the value in prioritizing character. I'm excited about our future when our young people embrace their character and understand the role that their character plays in their future leadership. I'm excited about it. And I'm excited about the part that I'm playing. And I'm excited about the impact that we are having on the lives of so many people. And hopefully we will extend further into Africa, because I believe there's a message that needs to be heard throughout Africa and throughout the world. The new generation of leaders are leaders of character.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
That's a good way to end this. Thank you so much. I have enjoyed this. I have enjoyed this conversation.
It was fun. Thank you.
I have learned a lot from you, and thank you so much for accepting the invitation to be on the podcast. And I hope the audience finds it as valuable as we have actually found it for ourselves.
And allow me to thank you for giving me the opportunity, and hopefully we may have some future opportunities to have further discussions. But keep up the good work, Aka. You're doing amazing work. You're having important conversations. Continue to have the tough conversations. Continue to have the conversations that people don't want to hear, don't want to listen. And often the things that people don't want to hear are the things that they need to hear.
Yeah. Right?
And so I admire you for the wonderful work that you are doing, and I believe we're going to be hearing much from you of your successes in the future as well. So thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, Sean, and bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Aka.